Live from the heartland and the crossroads of America, it's Tony Katz today.
Secretary Cardona, do you believe what is happening to Jewish students at Columbia and other colleges and universities across this country is okay?
Absolutely not. I think what's happening on our campuses is abhorrent. Hate has no place on our campuses, and I'm very concerned with the reports of anti-Semitism. I've spoken to Jewish students who have feared going to class as a result of some of the harassment that they're facing on campuses. It's unacceptable, and we're committed as a Department of Education to adhering to Title VI enforcement. We have 137 open cases. We take this very seriously. We've increased the number of communications to college campuses to make...
When do you act, Miguel Cardona? 137 open cases on Title VI? 137! Oh, great. Why not just open 240? 42,000. 1 billion cases. Doesn't matter until you throw somebody in jail. Let's pretend they were January 6th protesters. Now go to work. Title VI, part of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, protects people from discrimination based on race, national origin, or color in educational programs or activities. Translation, if you're targeting Jews, you're a problem. Now, the people on the political left today probably don't mean that. They probably say if you're targeting Jews... And so we're clear, the Jewish people who are participating in these events, these people are as lost as the day is long. Said it, meant it, you can quote me. Tony Katz, or my Hebrew name, Aaron Yisrael Ben Label. Tony Katz Today, that's the name of the show. I'm not sure how I would say that in the Hebrew. Oh, we'll call Tony Katz Today. 833, got Tony, 833-468-8669. Look at all these students participating. You know, many of them are Jewish. Yes, and many of them are wrong. That's like saying Jewish Voice for Peace is somehow representative of Jews. It's not. It's an abhorrent leftist, cultist, socialist, and communist organization that doesn't bear any resemblance to where Jews are across the spectrum and certainly doesn't bear any resemblance to where humanity is. Rational people don't support terrorists. They don't support terrorist organizations. They don't support the taking over of buildings at Columbia University. Oh, Columbia. Remember yesterday, it was going to be the 2 p.m. deadline? You have to end this encampment. You have to sign a piece of paper saying you won't do this again or you don't get your degree, and everybody has to vacate. And they said, nah, you ain't tough. And then they took over something called Hamilton Hall. That's what happened. And not only did they take it over, they started draping Palestinian flags on the side of it. Banners that read Intifada, Intifada's uprising, which is a way of saying down with Israel. It's all conversations about genocide. Every single one of them is about killing every Jew, destroying Israel. But as we know, it's not the end. I feel like since we've gone over that before, maybe I shouldn't go over it anymore. Enough is enough is enough. Sometimes I think we're reaching new people every day, and it's good to set at least the baseline of where we all are. But I'm going to listen to Miguel Cardona, the Secretary of Education, tell me that there are 137 open cases and they take this very seriously. No, they don't. They haven't moved to prosecuting anybody yet based on these violations. They haven't said to Columbia, you allowed this to happen, no more funding for you. State funding, federal funding, any funding, zero. Columbia, Harvard, NYU. Virginia Tech is having this problem. Indiana University, gone. No funding. Nothing. Because as long as you're taking federal funding, you are going to follow these rules. This is one of the more amazing parts. The progressive left will tell you that you have to make the cake. You have to decorate the cake for the same-sex marriage. And you say, I'll sell the cake, but I don't want to decorate it. That goes against my religious beliefs. And they sue you. And then after they lose the lawsuit, they do it again. And then after they lose the lawsuit, they do it again. Thus, Masterpiece Cake Shop in Colorado. We all know the case. Jack Phillips is the name of the owner there. but they stop Jewish students from walking and physically detain Jewish students. Well, it's an open case. There's nothing open. Throw the kid out of school and then arrest the kid, then tell the administration they don't get any more money. I'm in favor of shutting down universities. Now, I would be willing to take that position back if the universities would start firing the professors that advocate for and support the bigotry. Now, I can't stop a professor from being a bigot. I'm not trying to. But if there are professors who are being proactive in supporting the prevention of students from moving about campus, prevention of students from getting to class, the physical removal of students, barring students from getting into certain areas of a campus they paid to be a part of, fire them. I don't care about tenure, fire them. I don't care what they say, fire them. I don't care if they sue you, fire them. This is a moment where these universities and these boards of trustees need to get some focus and get some backbone. But what are the odds? Well, the odds are very, very small. Very small. Because this type of thing has been going on for years. This type of support for these bigots has been going on for years. And these bigots feel very, very comfortable in the confines of the college system, the campus system, the university system, because they know they have a level of control. And because they know this and because they teach students in this fashion, you get to Columbia University where they quite literally take over part of the campus. So much so that Columbia is now closed to non-residential students. You can't get on the campus of Columbia. So you allowed the inmates, the bigoted, Jew-hating, violent inmates, and America-hating. You cannot leave out America-hating. That's where all this goes, and we all know it. This is the part. I've gone over this before. This isn't about Israel. This isn't about Jews. This is about America and the West. This is about your kids. This is about you. This is about the people you work with. This is about your parents. It's about destroying Western civilization. Listen, all you have to do is listen to them and their calls for socialism and their demands for ending capitalism. It's all you need. They are what they are, what they are. Columbia has fallen. Anybody who sends their kid to Columbia is a fool. Columbia needs to learn the lesson by losing out on students. Now, luckily for them, they'll be able to make it up with all those foreign students from all of those places that hate Jews anyway, because after all, what else can the campus possibly do? What else could it possibly offer? You would say to me, Tony, anybody who sends their kid to Columbia is nuts, but certainly you would argue any Jewish person who sends their kid to Columbia is out of their mind. Out of their mind. They showed you what they are. When someone shows you who they are, believe them. Let's look at Washington University in St. Louis. Washington University in St. Louis has taken a different tact. Dear Washington University community, Saturday was a dark, sad day for WashU. A large group of individuals came to campus intending to disrupt, do harm, and interfere with educational activities and campus life. When the group began to set up an encampment, which is a clear violation of our explicitly stated policies, we asked them to leave multiple times. They did not leave voluntarily, so we made the decision to peaceably remove them. First of all, don't peaceably remove anybody. I'll get into that conversation coming up in a little bit. Unfortunately, they physically resisted. In the process of making a total of 100 arrests, three police officers received significant injuries. At Washington University, we fully support free expression. We encourage our students to use their voices to speak up about issues they're passionate about. Our campus is a place for our community to advocate and debate. But to be clear, our expectation is that members of our community can protest and express their strongly held views with signs, chants, and speeches, so long as they don't resort to actions that cause harm. On numerous occasions this semester, this academic year, and throughout our history, we've supported our students as they've held peaceful on-campus demonstrations. We all watch We've all watched as protests have spiraled out of control on other campuses across the country in recent months. We are not letting this happen here. Well, okay. You believe in free speech? You think people should have a right to protest? But there'll be no madness. Now, University of Florida was a little more focused. In response to the arrests of protesters, made of protesters this evening at the University of Florida campus, below is a statement that is attributable to UF spokesman Steve Orlando. Quote, "This is not complicated. The University of Florida is not a daycare, and we do not treat protesters like children. They knew the rules. They broke the rules. They'll face the consequences." Oh, dang. Let me give you the translation of that real quick.
They bought their tickets. They knew what they were getting into. I say, let them crash.
Not everybody is Columbia, guys. And as much as we're looking at this madness and recognize that it is madness, we have to take a look at those doing it right and speak up and say, well done and well played. Which brings us back to Miguel Cardona and this idea that they have 137 open cases. What does any of that matter? Until they go after students and throw students in jail and throw professors in jail and start threatening universities with a lack of funding, what does any of it matter? Open cases don't mean anything. It's as empty of a platitude as this from Representative Aguiar being asked a question about Ilhan Omar. That volume's a little too low. Let's see if I can get to his answer.
It's not the language I would have chosen.
Let's see if I got it right here.
It's not the language I would have chosen. It's not something I would have said.
What is it that Representative Aguiar would not have chosen? What is it that Representative Aguiar would not have said that Ilhan Omar, the Jew-hating, America-hating bigot, said? Maybe it was this.
How do you think this will translate to the Jewish students who are facing anti-Semitism here on campus?
So I actually met a lot of Jewish students that are in the encampment. And I think it is really unfortunate that people don't care about the fact that all Jewish kids should be kept safe and that we should not have to tolerate anti-Semitism or bigotry for all Jewish students, whether they are pro-genocide or anti-genocide.
Pro-genocide or anti-genocide? So if I support Israel's existence and taking on Hamas, I'm pro-genocide? This is the argument being made. Those aren't the words Representative Aguiar would have chosen. Okay. I don't think those are the words anybody who isn't a part of the Joseph Stalin fan club would have chosen. Speaker Johnson should be calling for her expulsion. Why is she allowed on any committee? It was Speaker McCarthy who said, "Foreign Affairs, you're gone. All committees," and then expel her, throw her out. And you say to me, whoa, 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 whoa. Now, isn't that a free speech conversation? We're talking politics. We're not talking her right to stand on a street corner. That's number one. Number two, we are demanding, when I say we, I think I mean you and me. We are demanding that the rules be followed. Well, Tony, what are the rules? The rules are that if I use the wrong pronoun, you want me to be fired. Nope, not you. They want me to be fired. If I misgender somebody, I should go to jail. But she can claim that people are pro-genocide because they believe in Israel's existence, and that's fine? No. No, they set the rules. I want them to live by the rules. They think that if I do not give a black person a job, I should be called a racist and I should be sued for it. But if they stop Jewish students from walking through the campus, it's just a Tuesday. No. I want them to have to follow the same rules. I want them to suffer under the regime that they are desperate to implement. So politically, throw Ilhan Omar, the Jew-hating, America-hating bigot, with her Jew-hating, America-hating daughter out. Bye. Bye, Felicia. gaunt. Do I have bi, Felicia? I don't know if I have bi, Felicia. You've got that somewhere, producer Jason. You've got a. I don't have it. That's a shame. I got to get it here. We always need a bi, Felicia, because you never know. You never know when you got to throw that in. Just got to put that right. Bi, Felicia. Finest thing. Well, that was Ice Cube, right? Finest thing he ever said. Finest thing he ever said. They set the rules. And now I want them to live by the rules. And I don't know why we're not living by the rules. We will have the free speech conversation. Because if you want to hate people, you're more than welcome to. I don't think you should. But you're more than welcome to. Can't act out on it. And when we're talking about federal dollars and universities and Title VI of the Civil Rights Act, I want these things applied. And a government that isn't willing to apply them isn't a government doing its job. Which will bring us to elections and how elections have consequences. Colombia has been taken over by the radicals, and that is just the beginning. Because if you think this is going to end when college is out of session across the country, with all due respect, I don't think you've read the book before. Because according to the book, this never ends until it's ended. I'm Tony Katz. An update on the shooting that took place in Charlotte, where three members of the U.S. Marshals Service and a member of the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police were killed. And you had a series of injuries from other agencies. This was yesterday afternoon. One of the suspects involved was shot and killed by law enforcement. They were going to a house to serve a warrant. That's when one of the suspects started shooting, hitting several of the officers. Even officers who provided backup were shot. Eight officers shot and rushed to local hospitals. Three members of the task force were declared dead at the hospital. And another member of the Charlotte-Mecklenburg police died later from their injuries. Awful, awful story. Ties in a little bit to a conversation we had yesterday with Doug Carter, who's the superintendent of the Indiana State Police. That story went a bit viral. What did people take from it? My gosh, they admit they had snipers at Indiana University to deal with the protests there. What Superintendent Carter said is that they certainly had overwatch. They had people in areas to keep an eye on what was going on the crowd in case things got to be problematic, like they would at a concert or anywhere else. He was in a position, as he discussed it, and this is my paraphrase of it, damned if you do, damned if you don't. If the police don't have enough people keeping an eye on things and something bad happens, the police didn't do enough to take care of people. If the police do it, look at how abusive they are. Right? That's the job, if you will, that, you know, measuring that, what is the sweet spot there, dealing with those people who will tell you no matter what you did, you didn't do enough. No matter what you did, you didn't do enough. Or you did too much. By the way, in Indiana, members of the General Assembly, they're very concerned with the suppression of free speech on the campus. I'm going to get into that. But this story out of Charlotte is awful, and it's a reminder that the job is incredibly difficult and very risky. Incredibly difficult and very risky. And incidents like this where four people are killed is a reminder of why police engage the way they do. Now, I don't think police need to be overtly aggressive in all cases, and I think there are cases where they are overtly aggressive where they need not be. I have said this for forever, for example, on a very simple subject, speeding tickets. If you hide behind trees, if you hide behind bridges to catch people speeding, you create an adversarial relationship. It's not necessary. I think it's adversarial when police vehicles are not clearly identifiable with huge lights and neon green and neon orange paint. You create cars that you can't really tell they're police cars. I think that creates an adversarial relationship. But they have an incredibly dangerous job. our thoughts with these families. I'm Tony Katz. I mean, we could play this as a game, right? Do you believe it? Which should be a new game we bring, right? We have What's More Pathetic, but we should play a game called Do You Believe It? Because this story leads to a question of whether or not it's something one would believe. Tony Katz today. What's going on? 833-GOT-TONY. Feel free. Call in. Happy to talk to you. I'll answer mostly anything. 833, right, some things maybe not. 833-468-8669. 833-GOT-TONY. Go on, bother producer Jason. Feel free. By the way, Jason, are you performing this weekend?
I am.
Where are you going to be? If you don't know, producer Jason, man on the guitar, singing. It's soulful yet delightful. Where are you going to be playing?
Ooh, I like that description. I'm going to be at the, at a place called Smocktown in Greenwood, Indiana, on Main Street on Saturday night.
Smocktown?
Smocktown. It's a brewery. Or distillery. Well, you know, they're all, distillery, brewery. Very cool place in downtown Greenwood, Indiana.
Except there's a big difference between a brewery and a distillery. Neither here nor there. You can check them out Saturday night if you're in Indiana. It's a shameless plug. I apologize for nothing. Let's play a game, people. Hold on. What was I calling the game? Is it legit? Is it real? Is it? Okay. I don't think I can call it. Is it BS? I honestly don't think that's going to play. But you tell me what you think of this. Oh, the music ended. That was too bad. The story is that there is this woman on OnlyFans. And her name is Farah Khalidi. Farah Khalidi is 25 years old. And Farah Khalidi makes kind, age-appropriate content on OnlyFans. Hold on, this just in. It's not age-appropriate? Well, doesn't that depend on the age? That's what I thought. She's on OnlyFans and she's on TikTok. And she tells a story on a podcast. Richard Hanania, I don't know the man. It's his podcast. That she was paid by the Biden team to push a political agenda specifically related to Supreme Court Justice nominee at the time, Ketanji Brown Jackson, back in 2022. As she states it, she was doing full-on political propaganda. She's on OnlyFans and has 1.8 million followers on TikTok. 1.8 million. Wow. And they said, this is what she says. Here's the quote. The funny thing is they're like, do not disclose this as an ad, because they were like, technically it's not a product, so you don't have to disclose it's an ad. Guys, if you know anything about radio, you might know something called plugola and payola. Let me tell you that the only things I ever heard from the very beginning of my radio career was that sometimes you can mess up and say something incorrectly, and you can get in some trouble for that. You can use a word you're not allowed to say on radio, and you can get in trouble for that, a slap on the wrist for that. Plugola or payola, that'll get you fired, and you'll never have a job again. Plugola, as described, is advertising or publicity intended for self-promotion and not paid for or underwritten by an independent sponsor. Said differently, you have a business. Then you talk about how much you like a business, but it turns out you own the business. That failure to disclose is plugola. which is why when I'm talking about something, I always say whether or not I have a connection. I overdo it in such a way because I never want the problem. I don't worry about the things that I say. I worry about disclosures. Far more than worried about anything that I say. Payola is payment of a party for the promotion of a product or service without making the legally required disclosure of sponsorship. So payola was big in the 50s and the 60s. I'm going to say specifically the 50s, where radio DJs actually had real power. And the record label would come in and say, hey, this is the hot new artist. What's her name? It's producer Jason. He's playing in Greenwood, Indiana this weekend. Oh, he is the hot new artist. Here, you should play his record. Here's his hit single. Well, we got a lot of things on the docket that we got to play. Well, here's a couple of bucks to play his single. And oh, look, here's tickets to this. And oh, look, here's a girl for you. Seriously, that would happen. That's called payola. You do that in radio, that's the end of the career. That's exactly what was going on, as alleged by this TikTok and OnlyFans content creator regarding the Biden administration. Now the question for us is, do you believe it? Yes, I do. I do believe it. Don't get me wrong. I can't prove it. It's an allegation. Unless she's going to show me where the money got deposited into her account, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with it. But I'm very, very confused by why you would need somebody on TikTok supporting the nomination of Ketanji Brown Jackson. I've been trying to go back to that that hearing and that confirmation setting. It was Ketanji Brown Jackson who could not define what a woman is because she's not a biologist. And, well, to me, that was disqualifying. That was absolutely disqualifying. We're not even close to a debate. If you can't define what a woman is, I don't really trust you with the Constitution. But I don't recall there being a real question of whether or not she wasn't going to get confirmed. It may have been close, right? It could have been a close vote. But was anybody, go back, just think for a moment. Was there any question that it wasn't going to happen? Her confirmation was 53-47 because you had three Republicans cross over, Romney, Collins, and Murkowski. So maybe they actually felt like it was a thing and it needed a little bit of pressure. You went to OnlyFans? First, let us be clear that the OnlyFans stuff has play. It's not like OnlyFans. Who in the world's using OnlyFans? Turns out, everybody. I think the only person right now who has never been on the site is me. And you know I want to do an OnlyFans page. I want to do an OnlyFans. Settle down. Settle down. Put your money away. I'll tell you when to pull out your money.
Where's the money, Lebowski? You want that money, Lebowski? Bunny says you're good for it.
So we'll get to that. Here's my idea for OnlyFans. I must have discussed this before. I know I did. Here is my OnlyFans page idea. You let me know on X whether or not this is good, whether this is gold or whether this is terrible. Right? Is it a good idea? It's not meant to be a game show. Asking if it was a good idea. The idea is that I am, with a cigar, like the Yule log that you play during the holidays. So here's how it goes. There, the camera fades in, and there's a leather chair. There's a small end table next to it with a cigar ashtray. There's a lighter. There's a cutter. Clean background, maybe white, maybe a light gray. I walk into frame, full suit, maybe three-piece. It all depends on the sponsorship deal. And I'm wearing the watch. Could, I mean, people be like, you gotta be wearing a Rolex. I don't know. Maybe we'll get a Patek Philippe. Maybe it'll be a unique tag. You know, again, the sponsorship. And it could be a U-boat. Honestly, I'm up for a lot of things and watches. And I sit down. I check the time on the watch, which is, of course, sponsored. I pull a cigar out of my jacket pocket. And I cut the cigar, right? We'll do a straight cut right there, pretty shallow. And then I'll light the cigar while toasting the foot. And then for the next 2 hours, I will smoke the cigar without ever saying a word. I will not say anything. I'll barely look into the camera. I will just be your cigar-smoking buddy. And then when I'm done, I'll set it down, because you do not stub out a cigar. I mean, if you're outdoors and you just don't, you know, you're worried about maybe catching something fire, then you can, you know, rub it in the dirt or whatever. You just leave it there. Let it burn out on its own. I put the cigar down. I'll stand up and I'll walk out of frame. Fade out. Done. $49.95 a month. Tell me that is not genius. That's my idea. I have never done it because I fear that my syndication partners would be like, yeah, that's a real problem. I've never brought it up to them. I need to bring it up to them. How is this not genius? And sponsorships will be clearly disclaimed. They will be stated, now they'll probably be written, you know, watch sponsored by, cigar sponsored by, lighter sponsored by, cutter sponsored by, suit sponsored by. You'll know everything. I totally believe this woman that it happened. And if it happened with her, can I ask exactly how many other places it's happening? There was a story about Harry Sisson. Harry Sisson is a this 22-year-old white privileged non-man. Well, he's a child. He's not a man. Who screams about Biden and his love of Biden. Everything's Biden, and Biden's the best, and Biden, 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 and screams at other people and attacks other people, and for some reason has some publicity. Well, someone took a look at the fact that this kid, who I think is in law school, did an interview with the governor of Pennsylvania, Shapiro. That's the governor of Pennsylvania. So because of that, this is a post that's put out by Wall Street Apes. That's their name on X. It means that the text messages, emails, or any communication with the governor would be part of the public record and therefore subject to a Freedom of Information request. So Sarah Fields puts it in to get the record. And the text messages show the conversation between this guy, Harry Sisson, and the director of digital partnerships for the governor. And the message from the director there says, "Hey, Harry, it's Gavin with Governor Shapiro's team. Excited for tomorrow. I'm working on getting you an embargoed version of the script with bullet points so you can prepare." So Harry wanted to bring up questions that were off script. And his question was not allowed to be asked. The interview was set up by a guy who's his talent manager. This dude has a talent manager. Harry denies working for the agency. And there was financial consideration for the interview. So, was he paid by, when he's supporting Biden? Here he is paid for by a Democrat. I've never paid for an interview, and nobody's ever paid me for an interview. I did offer Caitlin Clark of the Indiana Fever, formerly University of Iowa basketball. I did offer her, like Saturday Night Live, $3,000 a year to do interviews on the show. I did offer that. That much is true. I went full Lorne Michaels, offering $3,000 to the Beatles, which is a very famous skit on Saturday Night Live. How can you believe any of these people? I get paid for what I do, but you guys know every part of it. These people, these influencers, man, that's a lot of grift. I'm Tony Katz. People making a big deal that Biden is going to campaign in a town in North Carolina where Trump couldn't make it. I don't know, was there a storm? There was something going on and he couldn't make it. And now here comes Biden to go campaign in the city. And he's really showing Trump. I don't know where anybody's like, man, that's really something. I will tell you what is something. For the first time yesterday, I had somebody who I know, like, and trust, who has a pretty solid political background, tell me I was wrong. Biden will be the nominee. The left has no option. They have no choice. And the argument was compelling. Biden is the nominee means you're going to try and win the election on Trump will destroy democracy and abortion. That's the entire conversation. And believe that nobody else will pay attention to the safety and security of America and the economy. Is that bet worthwhile? We'll discuss. I'm Tony Katz.